When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
We are inside, well, actually we're not, but the shot you're looking at is inside Jordan-Hare Stadium. It looks like Jordan, but I was corrected on my very first trip to Auburn by David Housel. It is not Jordan, it is Jordan. And we are delighted to welcome you back to the second half of the program. We have had an amazing first half. We started with Coach Hugh Freeze, and so many other people have joined us here. But we want to talk about what I think is the most interesting story of this day. I read it on the plane coming over here in The Athletic about what went wrong with Jimbo Fisher. Bruce Feldman, among the great reporters and writers on this story. Bruce, thanks so much for the time. And you and two of your colleagues did a very, very deep dive on Jimbo Fisher. Good afternoon, and tell us what you learned.
Good afternoon, Paul. Yeah, myself, Sam Kahn, and Max Olson spent a couple of weeks talking to a lot of people who either had worked at A&M, still work at A&M, or people who had faced them to kind of do a deep dive on how did this go so badly? Because obviously we know that, you know, it was an insanely high buyout, and we knew that the contract that Jimbo had, and yet, except for one season, it was all like a massive disappointment. And they had the greatest highly ranked recruiting class that anybody ever signed a couple of years ago, and it all just fizzled out. So as we started talking to a lot of people, where did all the things go wrong? And there's a bunch of layers to this, Paul. I mean, on one hand, you have Jimbo and folks at Auburn remember him from that side of it. You know, he has developed a bunch of first round quarterbacks in his time. He had three at Florida State, including Jameis Winston. When he was at LSU, he certainly, you know, helped Jamarcus Russell become a first pick in the draft guy. And then he gets to A&M, and he really went on this run since basically Jameis, where it was one big disappointment after another when it came to the QBs. And almost none of them have come close to the expectations. And so where did that get off track? And then it was a lot of layers about the recruiting. And then it was about Jimbo's, you know, insecurity and Jimbo's ego. And how stubborn was he to not make changes and get stuck in everything's 2013. So it was fascinating to hear a lot of the details of this from the people inside the program.
I mean, there were a lot of catchphrases like he lost his fastball. He lost his zeal once he started making big money. I mean, these are frightening to hear because considering everybody's making big money, no, maybe not to the degree he is, but a lot of folks, and you cover them on a daily basis, they just check past that. But why was he unable to?
I think what's interesting is you talk to some people who've been in the SEC, and you have two examples. One is certainly Nick Saban, widely considered the greatest college football coach of all time. Now you have Kirby Smart, won back-to-back national titles. Those guys are certainly incredibly driven people. But one of the things that I've heard from people who've been around them as well as around Jimbo is that they have this growth mindset. They're always looking to try to evolve and grow, and they want to learn from any football coach they can learn from. And the people we spoke to for this story just felt like Jimbo, for whatever reason, really wasn't really wired that way, you know. And it was like, hey, this worked in 2013, we won a national title this way. And I think he was very resistant to making some changes like this. And the people who we talked to for this story even just, you know, said they felt like the decision-making process was just basically his, and it was stuck. It was almost like it was stuck in a ditch. And ultimately, you know, it just got worse because then you had, you know, a lot of people think Connor Wegman's a really talented quarterback, but he got hurt, and then the margin for error wasn't very good. And then you had these things where they have a, you know, a 2-year-plus losing streak on the road. That should never happen. It's not Vanderbilt. It's, you know, it's Texas A&M with these, you know, arguably as good a resources as anybody has in the country and a lot of talent. But there was just a lot of frustration from the people who have been part of that program. And I think that ultimately, you know, the leadership there, and, you know, Ross Bjork most notably, just kind of thrown up his hands, like they had to make a really hard decision financially to fix something that wasn't getting fixed. I mean, it was year six. You know, this is something somebody told me early in the year after they lost to Miami. It was like, what is he going to show in year seven that's going to convince anybody, you know, that he deserves more time? It's just not working.
Bruce Feldman with us, who reported back in September that this could be the last season, while many were just simply playing, well, there's no way that can happen. Which brings me to another Bruce Feldman report the other day, and I haven't had a chance to talk to you about this, and that's concerning Jim Harbaugh. Bruce, I realize there's been a lot of reporting by you and others done since last weekend, but what do we know about Harbaugh's future at Michigan based on everything that is going on right now?
I mean, there's a couple of things that I think people have to keep in mind on the big picture. One, now we know Jim Harbaugh is not coaching in this game tomorrow here in Ann Arbor because he's still serving the Big Ten suspension. But he's also, the NCAA still is not done with him from recruiting violations stemming from the COVID dead period. That was already hanging over him and the University of Michigan football program before anybody knew who Connor Stallion's name was. Right. So you have that on top of that. You also have this other piece of it, which is, you know, when I talked to him over the summer, he told me he thinks they were going to break Georgia's record for most players drafted in an NFL draft. And, you know, whatever, 6 months from now, he thinks they're going to have like 20 players drafted. If you lose 20 players off Michigan, you're going to probably be looking at a sizable rebuild the next year. So you have that. You also have the part of, you know, from the people I've talked to who are close to Harbaugh, I think he could get suspended for the bulk of the 2024 season once the NCAA gets around to this, if he's still there.
So Bruce, that's an NCAA decision, correct? If it went that way.
That would be, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's not, this is now, this is no longer the in the Big Ten's purview. This is going to be when the NCAA handles it and whenever that gets around to that. But the NCAA was not happy with how a lot of this stuff played out. Remember, the NCAA kind of shot back in a way that they almost never do at Michigan over Michigan's, you know, like what they felt like Michigan spinning in the, you know, maybe to their media side of it about trying to downplay what Jim Harbaugh was getting accused of. And so you had all that. And then I think the other element here is Jim Harbaugh's dance with the NFL the previous two winters. He interviewed on signing day, no less, with the Minnesota Vikings. The interview didn't go well. He didn't get the job. They hired Kevin O'Connell. This past year, he was very close to getting the job with the Denver Broncos. Ultimately, I'm told that he came back thinking, I really want to coach this team. He felt like he had great leadership and wanted to stay, and he did. But all those kids who came back, they're going to be going on to the NFL. So if Jim Harbaugh can get an NFL head coaching job, and remember, this is not like, you know, my colleague Urban Meyer, who's like hadn't coached in the NFL. This is a guy who was like 44-19 and coached in a Super Bowl. Like, Jim Harbaugh has a really strong record as an NFL head coach. Most college guys don't or didn't. So the idea that, you know, he might be able to get a job and move on. And if he does, then I think, you know, if you're Michigan, you have to think, okay, they'll probably not come down on us as hard if Jim Harbaugh's not the head coach, because then who are you punishing? You know? So I think that's why I would be surprised if Jim Harbaugh is the head coach of Michigan next year based on all of that.
I'm assuming the answer is that they thought about it, but Bruce, being up there, how prepared is Michigan to replace him? Is there someone waiting in the wings?
I don't know the answer to that, because They have Sherrone Moore, who's the offensive coordinator. He's, you know, was the offensive line coach, led them to back-to-back Joe Moore Awards, which is unprecedented. He's now been the head coach, acting head coach, for three games. We're going to find out tomorrow whether he can beat Ryan Day and Ohio State. But I think he's certainly getting an audition for this job. And I know the people within the program really like him and respect him. You know, if he beats Ohio State tomorrow and they're going to go on and win the Big Ten, now, obviously, Harbaugh would be back as the head coach for the Big Ten title game. But I think that would be about as strong an audition as anybody could hope to make to be ready to run the program, if that's the case.
Amazing. Well, Bruce, I realize you got a lot going on. We appreciate you making time, but I really recommend people who want to know how the sausage is made to read Bruce, Sam, and Max's piece in The Athletic. It is absolutely brilliant. Bruce, so we'll be watching tomorrow. Don't tell anybody I said that. Thank you very much for joining us.
Always a pleasure, Paul. Thank you very much. Happy Thanksgiving.
Bruce Feldman, who will be part of the Big Noon broadcast tomorrow, as well as everything that's going on with Michigan and Ohio State. What was that? We have a lot of usual guests here on Friday. We are hoping to have a surprise guest, someone that is extremely well known and everybody here at Auburn will recognize. We don't know exactly when that person will arrive, but a mystery guest is possible coming up here in the next few minutes. We'll be right back live in Auburn.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
A Tad Around the Table brought to you by the Honey Baked Ham Company. Everybody knows about Laura Rutledge, and now we know about the person that will replace Laura Rutledge in about 25 years. I'll let you have the honors this young girl who is so precocious on television seems
to
be...
Are you shy? You want to say something? I think we're just going to have a little cuddler.
Paul, she's
going to cuddle with you next, so watch out.
Tell her the camera is supposed to be facing toward her.
I know. She's funny because, you know, four-year-olds, what are you going to do with them? She's not shy at home, I can tell you that much.
So I take it the Thanksgiving weekend continues.
It does. Yeah, this worked out really well because Josh's family is in Coleman, Alabama.
Right.
So we were visiting with them, and then we made the trek here to Auburn, and everybody's here. So for the first time, we get to bring a friend.
Well, I think Reese misses you.
Are you going to do a big reveal here and reveal your face, Reese, least expecting it?
Reese found out she wasn't getting paid extra for this segment.
Yeah, she's like, excuse me. She'll be on the next segment by herself. She doesn't need me.
Well, listen, she misses her mom, mommy, yeah. Because we saw you Saturday in Tennessee. Then you were on Monday Night Football before in front of the largest Monday Night Football audience in about 50 years.
That was crazy. It was a little chilly. That was not a game that you would have enjoyed, Paul.
So I heard you told me it was raining.
It was raining.
I mean, I'm cold right now, and it's what, 60 degrees?
You look really nice, though. Doesn't he look sharp? I like this outfit. No one answered, but they agree with me. Okay.
No, hold on. There's a group of there's a teacher.
Oh, hi, you guys. Hey.
There are a couple of retired. Okay, you're a teacher.
Retired.
And they have talked me into joining their book club. So
I love that. When does that start?
This is my final show, and I'm moving to Auburn to be with these wonderful women.
I love that for you. That's amazing. Okay, so yeah, no, you wouldn't have. It was raining
cold.
A lot, and 40 degrees. But it was so cool to be there. And then Marcus, did you see that where Marcus had a live mic moment?
How could you miss it?
Okay, well. So the backstory.
I'm gonna
on that,
start cursing on. I don't know why I speak so properly. I mean, what?
You're just such a goody two shoes.
Yeah, I mean,
Eddie Haskell out here. Are you guys surprised I know about Eddie Haskell? I was a big Leave It to Beaver fan growing up.
Yeah. Beavs,
cool guy. Anyway, no. So we had this barbecue in Kansas City, and we were all eating it, and you know he was supposed to go over and do like a big tease. For what was coming up, and he didn't know he wasn't on camera. She's trying to get out of here.
There's so much I could say right
she's
now.
He's gonna go to sleep. But so he didn't know he had no idea he was on camera, and I thought he was doing.
Would he care?
I don't know. Well, he did. He was embarrassed, it was really funny, so he didn't need to be embarrassed. But I thought I was like maybe he's doing like a little joke here, and then all of a sudden he said a bad word. And
Kansas City's famous for barbecue.
Yes, and that barbecue was really good. It was actually Andy Reid's order that he orders every time, you know, when they've won the Super Bowl, he goes and orders that. So it was delicious. But anyway, it obviously brought out the worst in Swagoo. So.
Well, one thing that Swagoo probably did not mind was all the attention it got.
Oh, yeah. No comment.
Is the audience imagining something or seeing something? Laura with Reese is trying to act like a mother and not the schoolgirl she normally acts like when she's
on Friday
afternoon.
Yeah, I have to be serious right now, Paul. I'm.
You don't want your daughter
to know.
I can't
set a bad example.
You really are.
She does watch, but you know that's a little different than her taking a nap on me during your segment. We're really putting Reese to sleep here. By the way, she is going to be doing her pick live tomorrow, so you'll see. I think a different Reese come out then. So we'll find out who she's taking between Auburn and Alabama.
What about baby? By the way, I don't want to get in trouble here with Reese, but isn't it time we quit calling her Baby Reese?
Oh, no. Well, she hadn't been Baby Reese for years, but we do have Baby Jack, though, now. So
is Baby Jack around?
Baby Jack's right over there, yeah.
Where's Hey, Baby Jack.
Reese,
can we see Baby Jack?
Where's Baby Jack?
Can Mr. Rutledge bring Baby Jack up here? Come on up here, Josh.
Wow, this is exactly what you wanted to be doing with your show right now. I feel bad for the people on the radio.
For those of you listening, we now have Baby
Reese.
We now
have a baby.
We now have Josh Rutledge and Jack. Yeah. Jack making his first
Jack.
Live.
Hey, what's
now
up,
Jack.
Man?
Not like Jack. I mean, to me,
you
Jack.
See
I mean,
him?
I don't know.
You
want
to see him, Reese? Yeah. Oh, yeah. You guys have the same hair.
Whoa, hold. Somebody
what's
just
you doing?
Said you like him because of
what's
his hair.
You doing?
Now,
hey.
I wish I had that much hair.
He's got it more all over, you know, less on the sides like you, but it looks great. You see, Mr. Paul.
I mean, all these years I've been nice to Reese, and I didn't realize Jack was going to be my guy.
I know, right? Reese, you better come out of the woodworks here. All right. Well, anyway, you know, the reality is I got to.
This reminds me of something a couple of years ago. Should I say
it? I'm scared.
I am going to admit this in front of the two people that were involved. So we were in New Orleans for the national championship game.
Yeah.
And I asked somebody, I said, I need to go make I was doing an interview, I think with Stephen A. on his radio show.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So they said, just go in there. I walk in this. We're at the Superdome. I literally just I walk right in. I'm not looking because.
I mean, you are a bull in a
China walk in
shop.
And quite frankly, Josh is in there. And Reese is right where she is right here.
Yeah. Yeah, she was. I was. Yeah, we were doing a little feed there. But you know what? That was
and
how.
I go, oh.
That was how you became her godfather.
Yeah.
I mean, it was right then and there. We figured might as well make it official. And oh, Jack, you hungry? Oh, there we go. Yeah, why not? Have a snack.
Is this not, I mean, is this not
ridiculous.
The all-American family? Is this not the
everyone
family
at home
that
is like,
we all
wanted
to be from when we were kids that we never were? But I mean, a loving mom and dad, Jack.
What kind the back of a
what
four-year-old's
Jack
head.
Gonna play?
Yeah, what do you think, Jack? I think linebacker, maybe. He's yeah.
I'd like to see him follow his dad and become
oh,
a Major League Baseball
yeah,
star.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He could. He's got the skills.
I think he's a baseball player.
Jack, you baseball? What are you doing with your mouth? All right, cool. Anyway, the reality is I am just a placeholder here right now for a much more important interview. That's why you're kind of looking over there. So that's why we're not doing anything that important. What was that? What was that? Yeah. Okay.
What was that, Jack?
He was taught. He said, wait, I'm the important
interview. By the way,
just
for the record, Jack's picking Auburn tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look at his outfit. Oh, Jack. He's like, oh, that's for me. There you go, Jack.
Reese, are
oh my
you,
goodness.
Josh, I said this to Reese earlier. Reese is getting just like her mom. That unless there's an appearance fee, she's not showing up.
Yeah, she's like, she's not showing this beautiful face. All right, you're saving it for tomorrow, girl. You do whatever you want, okay?
Okay? Tomorrow's a much bigger show, far more people watching.
If you want to, turn toward the camera, you're welcome.
Anyway,
to.
We,
if not, that's fine.
We are going to move on from Jack, Reese.
This has been great.
Josh and Laura. They'll be on the cover of Good Housekeeping in the Christmas
let
edition.
Let me. Are we going to go to break, or should I take my mic off?
I think we're done.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I know, but I didn't know if you wanted me to. Oh,
we'll
okay.
be right back.
It's been real, guys. Thanks. Next week, I'll show up by myself. I promise.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back, and we decided we're going to get a legitimate football expert to the program, a man who has tried to school me in the history of the Iron Bowl, and I'm sad to say that whatever reputation I have, you have been far more correct about the Iron Bowl. I'm speaking of Tim Cook, who doesn't really need much of an introduction on this campus. He is a proud Auburn University graduate, and he's the chairman and CEO of Apple. Just got my.
It's great to be here, and thanks for using our product, Paul. And thank you as well.
I don't want to talk too much because you're one of the few people I get nervous around, but I met Tim and his nephew about 8 years ago here at a function and got to know both of you as a result. And you were gracious enough to let us to spend some time with you a couple of years ago. And I don't know how much longer I will be on this earth, but I will continue to brag about that experience until my last day. It was so special.
Thank you. Really appreciate that. It's great to be on your show, and I love watching.
Thank you.
I love listening to some of your comments. And who are you predicting this year?
Well, this is where Tim and I differ a little bit. I can't remember which. I think it was 15 what was it? I'm trying to remember the years. It was 17, the years Auburn has won down here, 13 obviously, but you tried to tell me, I think the next time, I said Alabama's going to win this game. We were at a function the night before, and I, as I'm watching Auburn win that game, I'm going, this is getting kind of odd that Tim Cook would know more about Auburn and Alabama football. And then we were together again 2 years later, and I was obstinate. And you said no. Auburn won that game.
We did. It and was then, great.
And then 2 years ago, I finally got one right, but barely.
Oh.
That might have been the best prediction ever.
By this much.
Tim that was on our program the night before, and you said, you went through it, and I'm watching the game, obviously, and Auburn's up 10-0 and about to win. And that would have been, I mean, of all the things you've accomplished, that might have been
That would have been incredible. No one expected that. But I did, actually. I expected it to happen, and it was one, if I remember right, one step out of bounds.
We'll mention the poor young man's name.
Everybody makes mistakes.
If he had stayed in bounds, Auburn wins that game.
Yeah.
Derails Alabama.
Yeah. And then we had our chances in overtime, and, you know. But it's the great thing about this game is you can never tell. You can never tell. And there's so much excitement. It's so great to be here. I come every other year to the game. I can't get the Alabama folks to invite me to the game there. And so I always come down to Auburn for it and always look forward to it.
And your experience here, you grew up in Robertsdale, Alabama, down near the coast. And I remember that day we were together, you were telling me the intersections that you've had with so many people around the world, and it's self-explanatory, but you had a common bond with Jimmy Buffett. I remember.
Yeah.
We just lost him, and tell us that story. But
yeah, you know, Jimmy had a restaurant down in Gulf Shores, or his sister has a restaurant down in Gulf Shores, and he used to have a bar there with Kenny Stabler, and quite a pair that was. But the real intersection I had with Jimmy was that our fathers worked together.
Right.
And they were both in the shipyard business. And so Jimmy and I stayed in touch all through the years, and his passing was a terrible blow. He left us way too early.
Let me go to Apple Music now and listen to my favorite Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah, yeah. He had great ones, and they're timeless.
Oh, yeah.
You can listen to those. You'll be able to listen to those 50 years from now, and they'll still be as great as they were when he came out with them.
No, you were here. You were here in the early 80s. Is that correct, or late 70s?
I was here from 78 to 80, the December of 82. I had to stay five falls to finish. And, you know, I decided, you know, I might as well stay for one more football season.
That's a freshman season. That's a freshman year nowadays for kids to stay five falls.
Yeah, that's right.
And I want to concentrate, Tim, about how you've taken this university to everywhere you've gone all over the world, because it's always with you.
It is always with me because it's a spirit. It's not a place. It's this War Eagle spirit lives in Japan, and it lives in China, and it lives in Europe, and it lives in South America. It lives everywhere. If you wear your shirt, you will always have people come up to you with a big smile on their face and say War Eagle. And it's a great place.
And when we were here, you spoke to the football team, and I know you've done that before, and you do it, I mean, to get, I won't describe how difficult it is to get Tim Cook to come speak to your commencement or your, but to, you talked that day about a young man who's important to you and to me, your nephew, and what they can do for, and I want you to reflect on that story because it was so poignant.
I'm not sure I remember what story I was telling about.
Well,
I tell so
about
how
young people look at a football team at Auburn through the same eyes as you did when you were that age.
Yeah, I think for me, I think back to being 11, 12 years old, and Auburn playing Alabama, and it was such a preconceived view that Auburn would lose that the game wasn't even televised. We were listening to it on the radio at the time. And for those of you that remember, and you'll remember very well, Auburn won that game 17-16. And on two block punts in the fourth quarter. And it was just a reminder that so much is possible. That if you collaborate or as a team you play together, that there's no ceiling on what can be accomplished, that 1 + 1 can equal 3 or 4 or 5. So I think it's great for young people to know that and know the value of teamwork and know the value of believing.
By the way, Tim Cook is a very serious-minded and thoughtful CEO. He also has a sense of humor because we also played during the documentary we did on your return to Auburn. It was 2 years after the most famous game in this series since that 17-16, and you were addressing a group in New York, and I believe it was an Auburn group. It was right after the famous 13 game, and I think you started this off like with the 1 second joke.
Yeah, it's amazing what 1 second can do.
Exactly.
Right? And, you know, this is the 10th year anniversary of that team, and I'm hoping to be able to meet some of them here.
No, it's, again, it's so interesting to watch your journey and to think about where it began. You that morning we were together here, you were showing me where you lived, or in your dorm, all the things you used to do, and now I mean, life changes. But that's the thing that we love so much here when we come to campus, because it doesn't matter how old you are, it's still that part of you.
That's right, and some things just don't change. That spirit that runs through you years later. I won't say how many years later, but years later. And I was over in Langford Hall pitching movies.
Oh, that's right.
On Friday nights, and getting, as I remember correctly, getting things lobbed at me when I was doing it. It can be a tough crowd when you're introducing movies.
I'll tell a story on you. And we were together the first time we met, and there were some other people at the dinner. And I was, again, you meet a lot of people in this industry, not to the degree of world leaders like you just sat down with a week ago, but everybody is coming up to talk to you, and we're all a little bit intimidated. And somebody came up and said, Mr. Cook, I have a really serious issue I want to ask you about. And he was complaining to you about the battery in his iPhone. And I just thought, of all things. And you were very gracious, and you took time and explained it to him. Of course, you were on the engineering side, so. But it was. Just, I'm sure you get crazy stuff like that.
I get from people come from all different perspectives, and I love it. And you know, every morning I carve out time in the very early morning to just read emails from customers. And the one thing about Apple is that people will tell you what they think, because generally they're passionate about the company. It's a big part of their lives because of the amount of time that people will spend on their phone or their iPad or their Mac or using the watch. And it's quite interesting to hear their stories. A lot of people are writing me right now telling me about how the watch saved their life because they found out they had AFib and didn't know it. I had one just come in the other day where someone was in a terrible automobile accident and the watch detected the crash. They were in a rural area and they wouldn't have been found. And the watch detected the crash, alerted emergency services, alerted their family. And so it's amazing of the things I hear. And they come from all over the world.
And that's something that I think you said something to me when we first met about, you know, this being a global world. And I wonder, because when I read your social media messages, you're so positive. And it's I know it's not. It's difficult today for all of us to remain that way. But how? What message would you have to the rest of us about that?
Well, it's that there's more that joins us than forces us against one another. There's the common threads are so significant in today, and we just have to recognize that and put aside the differences and form relationships. And I strongly believe in engaging with people. And as a matter of fact, it's probably more important to engage with people that disagree with you than those that agree with you.
That is so
And so I think if we all kind of take that on board, and the world would be a much better place.
Well, I thank you for coming by here.
Thank you.
And for it's meeting so much to these people.
It's always great to see you.
Tim Cook, Auburn graduate. Thank you so much.
Great seeing you, Paul.
Just a pleasure. We will be right back.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
I was so looking forward to spending time with our next two guests, Ainsley Lee and Matt Cohn from AL.com. I've talked to both of them before, but Matt, I don't know what to say. Mr. Cook showed up.
I was joking offset. Like, I literally had to buy a laptop this morning, and I blew it. It could just kind of maybe give me just a donated one. It could trade in my old one. It would save me a lot of time. What do you know?
Ainsley, great to see you as well.
Yes, sir.
So we'll get right down to business. We had Coach Freeze on, and all the conversation about what didn't go right last week. What's been the vibe this week?
I think the biggest thing is just let's put it behind us as quick as we can, and turn the page. Maybe that page was already turned, right? It was kind of a mixed bag of no, we weren't looking ahead, or. You know, maybe we just got too comfortable last week, and so I think the biggest thing is just let's turn this page over as quick as we can. We've got quite the monster coming to town this week.
Matt, you've watched this whole thing unfold with Hugh Freeze. How would you assess where we are, game 12 of the season?
I think they're almost kind of where you thought Auburn might be from the perspective of it's a team that on paper, this talent, and Hugh Freeze said so earlier today on the show, is it's not as talented of a team as Alabama on paper, and that's okay. And you've seen the growing pains of a first-year head coach. Some people have called it year zero. I think it's still year one. Like, this still counts. There's a lot of recruiting going on here. And the bigger win from this season is seeing some of Auburn's recruiting wins. If you can compete with Alabama, that's great for year one. They've gone to they're going to play in some bowl game. We're not sure where quite yet, obviously. But to do all that in year one are really important milestones, I think, are a little bit more important than the actual results of the games this season. Obviously, last week is something that, that happened. You cannot throw that away, nor should they. But I hope you would think that that's something that you can maybe build on as a team going forward. It is a growing pain, maybe more than you expected, but it's a growing pain.
Ainsley, we all try to make storylines for a game. We got a bunch of experts that will be on this show tomorrow morning, and I heard them at a meeting today, and they were struggling to find a path for Auburn to win this game, other than it's the Iron Bowl. What about you? You're somewhat of a newcomer to this rivalry.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Iron Bowl certainly plays a big role in that. You know, I've been kind of blown away as an outsider in year one being here at what Jordan-Hare can do and the environment that that place kind of presents. You know, growing up in, you know, the SEC, and you hear about that place, and then you get there and you're like, well, it's not exactly a fairy tale. You know, this kind of place actually does have impacts on teams. And so I think that certainly plays a role. Obviously, Jalen Miller has been playing great, and I think, you know, just finding a way to limit his impact in this game some way, somehow, is going to play a big role into that. But I certainly, you know, playing at Jordan-Hare Stadium is quite the impact, I think, in this football game.
Do you agree?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think I've, you know, coming from Indiana, just a Big Ten school that's not really a big football program, you walk in here and it's incredible. I mean, I've never seen anything like this in my life. Just we're here, just any of the SEC stadiums, honestly. But there's something special about this stadium. And growing up watching this rivalry, even from afar, you see it always gets weird in this building. And I think that's kind of that's Auburn's best path to winning this game. Something that's, you know, a little abnormal. Auburn's going to try to play their high tempo. They want to establish the run. That's kind of, if they can have some sort of offense to help their defense, which I think has the ability, even against a really good Alabama offense, to at least, you know, bend but maybe not break entirely. They just need some help from the offense. And that's the best path. And the crowd here is going to be a huge factor in that.
Yeah, I do think the crowd is always the X factor here. Ainsley, Matt, we will do this in more extended time, but both of you have a great story. I think that you were supposed to spend a long time here, and Tim Cook decided to drop by.
Yes, sir. We appreciate it.
I'll tell you both. Just being around Tim Cook will take you far in life.
Yes.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.